Well, the big churches just now, they're already out. They've been out of church 15 minutes. And we ain't even got around to preaching yet. Somebody said, "Preacher, I wish we was like that." You know where they're at. I want to say, too, I forgot this. I got a card here from Brother David Wells, a thank you card. I'll put that out front this morning if I don't forget it and lay it right there. But I'm glad I'm not like that crowd. That's right. Thank be unto God. Oh, not to ever come to church. I'm going to be honest with you, and I know a lot of people disagree with me on this. But I'd rather come to church on Sunday morning and tarry with God. And if God passed by and I got what I needed for the day, go on to the house and forget about coming back. A lot of times God passes by and you come back and it's deader than 4 o'clock in the morning. And a lot of times it's deader than 4 o'clock in the morning whether he passes by or not when you come back. And that's right. And there's only one thing that hinders me from doing that, and that's the fear that the deadness has crept in on midweek and Sunday night, creep in on Sunday morning. And then what are you going to do? Be real difficult. Well, I've got a little old message I want to preach. I don't know if it'll ever get off the ground. Like I said the other day, if this airplane don't get off the runway, we'll taxi back to the hangar, praise God, and cut the engine. Come back and try it another time. But I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 1, please. Amen. Song of Solomon and chapter 2 and verse number 1. I know that I've preached through this book and already preached out of this verse. But I was sitting in the automobile the other day. Miss Hall was in a store doing a little shopping. And I was reading through this book, and I'll tell you, it got so thick in the car with me that I couldn't hardly contain myself. People walking by looking in the windows, I think they thought I was crazy or a man or something. But I had the tears rolling, the snot was being slung. And me and the Lord having a great time. And I don't think there's any other book in the Bible like this book. It has stirred at my heart over and over and over again. When I look at the relationship we have with Christ and how vividly this book brings out that relationship that we have with our Lord, and then the responsibilities that we have one to another. We've got responsibilities to the Lord just like He has with us. And I'm going to tell you, if you didn't shout on the singing, you didn't shout what the preacher was saying about his ministry, we just might as well forget shouting this morning. I don't think some of you shout, praise God, if somebody hit you on the foot with a sledgehammer. I don't believe you could say, "Oh, that hurt." Thank you, Brother Jerome. Amen. Brother Gene Mathias called this morning and said, "Brother Jerome, we're going to be in church." I said, "He'll be there on the front pew." He said, "You reckon he'll get excited?" I said, "For a man his size, he can come up off that pew and jump as high straight in the air as any man I've ever seen. I believe he could compete with the athletes." Amen. All right, Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 1, and let's stand together, please, for the reading of the Word of God. The Bible said, "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters." Let's pray. Our Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, for the good Sunday school hour and how it stirred my heart this morning and how my soul was blessed again. And Lord, I thank you for the service that we've had and the singing, Lord, and the good testimonies and the prayer. It's just been good. And I'm grateful, Lord, that we've been able to be here and you've stirred our heart one more time. And God, I want to thank you for just the little reviving that you've given me in the last few days. And I want to thank you for the privilege of preaching the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help me this morning as I stand. I feel so empty, Lord, and in such great need this morning of that fresh anointing power, the Spirit of God upon me to preach. I Pray that you'll touch me and provide the liberty I need. And Lord, I want to be a blessing and a help to the people of God. To help me, Lord, to say something that'll encourage them and something, Lord, that might open up their eyes that you can use to help them to see, Lord, life as it is here in this world. And the fact, Lord, that you provided for us a world to come wherein dwelleth righteousness. Hallelujah to God. I pray that you'll bless every heart in the preaching now and help me, I pray, save souls for Jesus' sake. And may He be glorified this morning, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to preach out of verse number 2 this morning, where the Bible says there, as the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Our Lord here speaking first of all in verse number 1 about Himself. And He says there, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. As I look at that, I see somewhat of praise that He's doing unto Himself. And somebody said, Brother Hall, how can that be? Well, He is the altogether lovely one. And our Lord is perfect in every aspect. There are no flaws in Him. And I found out a long time ago that it's perfectly all right for Him to praise Himself. And I tell you, friend, if we don't praise Him, church, the very rocks will cry out and praise the Lord. But He's more or less a bragging about Himself. Now, you and I have nothing to boast about. If I'm going to glory, I'm going to glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, He is so powerful, and He is so so holy and so righteous and so perfect that our Lord has no problem at all praising Himself and saying, I am the rose of Sharon and I am the lily of the valley. He can say that about Himself. Hallelujah to God. And by the way, if you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to be able to say that about Him also. That He is the rose of Sharon, and that He is and has been and will be the lily of all your valleys. Hallelujah to God. And so He is here speaking about Himself. But in verse number 2, He deals with His bride. And He says, as the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. I want to preach today, if God will help me on the thought, some thorns in the life of the bride. Are some thorns in the bride's life. Solomon writing here, and he begins this chapter by giving us two similes that illustrate the divine character and the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he says that I am both the rose and I am the lily. I'm sure that these flowers represent many things that we could say about the Lord. But I simply want to say this morning that they represent His virtue and it sets forth the very beauty and the tenderness of our Lord. As the rose, He is He that is beautiful. But as the lily of the valleys, He is the tender-hearted one. You know, I'm glad that we have got a great high priest this morning that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I think we have forgotten that our Lord is a tender-hearted God. And you know, to hear most of us preach, and very few times we ever touch on the Lord's tenderness and His mercy and so forth. We want to present Him as a God of judgment and a God of damnation and a God of doom. But I want to say I'm glad this morning that His heart is very tender toward you and I that are saved by the grace of God. And He's very compassionate toward those that are without. In fact, He came into the world to save old sinners. I'm telling you, I've never experienced so much love and tender-heartedness
as our Lord had when He came into the world to save those that opposed themselves and to save those that literally opposed the very work that He was doing on the cross. I'll tell you, it'd have to be pretty tender to submit Himself to the afflictions of Calvary. And yet be able to look up into heaven and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's right. And He proceeds in verse number 2 to set forth the bride as a lily also. Only she is among thorns. She is as tender, she's as tender as a lily. Now, and her life is spent among the thorns. That's right. And that's the way we are. He said, I am the lily of the valleys. But as a lily, my bride is like a lily among the thorns. And a lily is a very tender flower indeed. But dwelling amongst the thorns, she's subject to being pricked by the thorns, subject to being wounded by the thorns, subject to being bruised by the thorns. I'm telling you, the world that we're living in is a cruel world. And there's some thorns in this world, my friend, that can prick our heart and wound our heart and trouble our lives and discourage our lives and hinder our lives from serving God the way He wants us to serve Him. As a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Now I want to say, first of all, that He identifies the church and her life with His own life. For He just said, I'm the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. But then He says, as a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. And He identifies the church and her life with His very own. You know, the Bible said in 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in the world. I'm going to tell you, if we could ever get a hold of that, that we are not a friend with the world, and neither is the world a friend with you and I. We've got the idea today that everybody out there ought to love us, and everybody, nobody out there should oppose us. But I'm telling you, the Lord said, as I am, so are ye in the world. And brother, I'll tell you, they rejected His teachings. They rebelled against His grace. They refused to walk in His way. In fact, they nailed Him to an old rugged cross and crucified the Prince of Peace, of the very Son of God. I'm telling you, if you think, my friend, that the world today is your friend, you've got a problem in your life. As a lily among the thorns, as I am in the world, so are you in the world. They'll treat you like they treated me. Amen to God. I know that's right. I want to say, the lily as a lily, it grows in the valleys. He said, I am the lily of the valley. And that little row, that little lily will grow in the valleys. And we need to understand today that the church will spend much time in the valley. There are going to be deep afflictions and sorrows as a child of God. I'm telling you, people, they just never have got a hold of that. They think life is a bed of roses. You better be careful laying down the bed of roses. I learned a long time ago that on the stem is some briars on that thing. You might lay down in your bed of roses, but you're going to get stuck, friend, by the briars that are right in there with you. Oh, yes, I'm telling you, life is not all peaches and cream. There are sorrows to be had, and there's afflictions in this life, especially for a child of God. I want to ask you, how would you handle it this morning? How would you have handled it yesterday if you were like the Alexander family and carried your husband or your daddy to the emergency room with chest pain, and just a few short hours later the doctor walked out and said, I'm sorry, we've done all that we can do for your husband. 50 years old, younger than what I am. I'm 56 years old, much younger than what I am. And yet his life already cut short. Oh, I'm telling you, somebody said, Brother Hall, what are you saying? I'm saying that life is full of sorrows. Life is full of thorns. Life is full of afflictions. The pathway that we travel and the road that we're on is filled up, my friend, with afflictions and sorrows as a child of God. But thank God we've been made pure like the lily. We've been made white like the lily. And we need to learn to avoid those thorns that are along the way in our life. Don't cuddle up too close to one of them. They're dangerous. They'll bruise you. They'll wound you. They'll irritate you. That's right. They'll cause you pain. You better learn to avoid them. Amen. David said in Psalm 31 verses 9 and 10, Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief. Yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity and my bones are consumed. There is a man that said, My whole life has been consumed by grief. Now, I'm telling you, my friend, it is not a bed of roses. If you've not lived long enough to in your life to realize for afflictions to come your way and sorrow to trouble your heart and to have your heart grieved, just hang around a little while. It's a coming. And I want to say something. I'm glad. I thank God for every one of my grandchildren. But I want to say this. The more youngins you got in this world, your grief and sorrow will be multiplied. Somebody said, Preacher, what do you mean? Go back and read the judgment God placed upon Eve. In childbearing, her grief and her sorrow will be multiplied. And son, he ain't talking about the pain physically from delivering a child. He's talking about the spiritual pain and sorrow that comes in the life of those children when they fail to live right for God and your chickens come home to roost in your life. I know some people that the chickens going to come home to roost in their children. They've sown to the flesh. They've wallowed in the thorns. And the chickens going to come home to roost in their youngins. Oh, they're just little bitty kids now, some of them. I saw some of them, matter of fact, Brother Raines. And them parents are going to reap what they've sown in those children. And you mark her down somewhere down the road, that mommy that bear them, my friend is going to find great grief and sorrow of heart. There may be even a time when they'll regret they even brought that child into the world. Their grief is so great. Child won't see that grief and can't, but the parents will. Thorns, as a lily among the thorns. I'm telling you, there's thorns in this life. God, help us, these thorns in this life. We better learn to avoid them, my friend. I tell you what we better do is draw it close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. Get in the bosom of God and learn to lean on Him and trust Him in all of our ways. Acknowledge Him and He shall bring her to pass in our life. Hallelujah. I want to say secondly, I like this. I know it's going to stir some of you about like it already has. But the lily blooms in the spring. And by the way, it dies in the spring. And that reminds me of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. As that little old lily in the spring about Easter time begins to, that little pod begins to pop open and that flower petals come out on the stem of that little old lily. That's a picture of the tomb of our Lord opening up and Christ coming out just like the stone was rolled away and Christ come out of the grave. Amen. Hallelujah. He said you're like a lily among thorns. And you are because you have resurrection power. I'm glad, thank God, this morning that I've been resurrected by the power of God and been regenerated by the Holy Ghost of God. I'm glad I've been to Calvary and been bathed in the blood of the Lamb, my friend. Hallelujah. Amen. I wonder if y'all really knows what it means to have resurrection power. Paul talked about about knowing Him and the power of His resurrection. Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. That quickening power, that Holy Ghost power, that indwelling power, that spiritual power that is able, my friend, not only to resurrect our soul, but someday it's got the power to glorify our bodies and redeem this old body from the dust of the earth and to bring us out incorruptible, undefiled. Hallelujah. As a lily. I won't say thirdly. I've already said it, but the lily is tender and fragile. And we also should be tender-hearted, one toward another. I've never seen a colder, crueler generation of Baptists than what we've got right now. I'm talking about a bunch of cold-hearted people. Cruel. Are you listening to me? Ain't got much concern. We don't have really much concern for people today. Oh, we might talk about it, friend, but I'm going to tell you there ain't much there. We're so busy and wrapped up in doing our own little thing and concerned about ourselves that we just don't have time to be tenderhearted towards somebody else. Sit down with them and weep when they weep and cry when they cry and rejoice when they rejoice. I'm telling you, there ain't much of it in our land today. We ain't got time for it, Brother Hall. I'm going to tell you, we better start taking time to be Christians. I'm afraid if some of us don't start taking time to be Christians, buddy, when the trumpet sounds, we may find out we're not quite the Christian we thought we was. You know, this is pure religion and undefiled before God, is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. That's pure religion, ladies and gentlemen. Now, if I've got members of this church like that, I'm going to visit them. Somebody said, what about all them others? I don't have to visit them people that's kicked out on us and cussed me and everything else. Lost. I won't charge anything for that. Church is a lily. The church as a lily is said to live among thorns. I want to try to name a few of them this morning. I want you to stay with me. Hope to God we can get a little help, but I don't think there's going to be much help for it. I want to say, hey, as a lily among the thorns, I want to say there are some thorns in your life. That's right. That remain in your life that if we were spiritual enough and where God wanted us to be and right with God, that those thorns that are troubling us and thorns that are hindering us and thorns that are aggravating us and thorns that are irritating us would never be in our life to begin with. There are some thorns that remain. When the Lord brought Israel into the land, into Canaan, here's what He told them in Numbers 33, and beginning in verse 51. He said, Moses, you speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images. I'm going to say, I ain't never seen that, and that'd be a good one to preach on television. Amen. Destroy all their pictures. Some of you has got a television set thorn in your side, my friend, that is gouging you and prodding you and irritating you and hindering you, and you will never... be what you ought to be for God. That's right. It's bound to hold some of you back. Something's holding some of you back. Glue your eyes on one of them things, a screen on it as big as that American flag. Come into church on Sunday morning, red-eyed, bless God, droopy-eyed and droopy-tailed, because we sat up all night long and watched all that bunch of filth and garbage on the television. He said, when you come into the land, drive them out and get rid of their pictures. Thank you, Brother Jerome. He said, and destroy all their molten images. And quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. But notice what he says. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, then it shall come to pass that these which ye let remain, there's my thought, thorns that remain, these that remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in all the land wherein you dwell. I'm telling you, friend, when you got saved, you wasn't made perfect. And there were things in your life how that God said they're thorns. I'm telling you, unless you purge those thorns out of your life and possess your own life by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, those things that remain in your life will vex you all the days of your life. And I'm going to tell you, that's part of the problem in this church. You've had it preached against, and for a while you rejoiced in it. But you never did get the thorn germ out of the soil. And just like I said in Matthew 13, that little thorn germ has sprung up a few more thorns around you, and it choked out the Word of God in your life. Are you listening to me? He said they'll vex you all the days of your life. Brother, we better learn that when God deals with sin in our life, whether it seemed to be large or whether it seemed to be small, brother, we better get rid of that thing because it'll vex us and vex us and vex us all the days of our life. I've had some of you come to me and say, Brother Hall, you know, I'm having these thoughts in my mind that I used to have when I was lost. Well, maybe you ain't got that, or maybe you never have dealt with that thing. And it's vexing you. It's irritating you. God help us this morning. Amen. And the television is only one of them, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe a lot of them. Sports. Buddy, I'll tell you, it's like Benny said in the Sunday school hour, son. It is time that we forgot those things which are behind. My God, I'll tell you, I got a thought out there. I'm going to preach one of these days on get your eyes on the prize. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Pressing toward that high prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, one of our problems is we need to get our eyes on the prize and forget that mess which is behind. Something we just can't get rid of. Can't forget. May us keep on troubling us. And I found out a long time ago, most times be things that we enjoy. Now I'm going to tell you what, you better be careful going back to things. Now I won't say this morning, I don't think you'll mind. I don't think you'll mind. Brother Steve back there come to me the other day and said, Preacher, did you know when I got saved, he said, I quit fishing. I was hung up in that stuff, and I wanted to put it behind me, and I didn't want to just lay on a pond bank or down at the river, down at the lake and fish all the time and get carried away in that. And he said, I just put it behind me. He said, you think it'd be wrong if I just went a fishing with my daddy every now and then, went a fishing with my brother every now and then? I said, no, I really, and I'm honest, I don't think it'd be wrong for a man to wet his hook every now and then or go deer hunting. I think everybody ought to have a little rest, a little relaxation. But I'm telling you, my friend, you better be careful if God makes that thing an issue. and you get it out of your life and then turn around and let it come back into your life and control you more than it did before. You got a problem, my friend, that you better confront and deal with. It's a thorn that's gouging and sticking and irritating you in your life. I know that's right. Hallelujah. I know it's right. Now notice here what this thing does. He said there'll be pricks in your eyes. I'm going to show you what them thorns does. I'm going to tell you what one of our and it's all across the country. It irritates our vision and blurs our vision. The Bible said, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I'm going to tell you what, we've got so many worldly thorns and pricks in our eyes that our vision, if it's not blind, it surely has been blurred by those pricks and thorns in our eyes. And we cannot see the fields that are white under harvest. Brother Tarvin got up here this morning and son done the best he could and what time he had to unload his burden on you and to try to share with you his heart for those that are shut up in those prisons without God and without hope. And as he talked for a little while about those souls, those precious souls that are going down the tube into eternity's hell, my friend, it didn't seem like it troubled no heart, or it didn't seem like it bothered nobody. It didn't even seem like that it rejoiced anybody to know that there was a man that had a concern for the souls of those in the places that we could not go to. And I wonder today, my friend, if we're not so caught up in the world and so entangled in the thorns and of this world that our vision has been blinded, our eyes are irritated, and we just don't see like we ought to see. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. For they're white unto harvest.
Amen.
We talk about going to Mexico. And we try to raise money for Mexico. And I'll bet you since I've made mention of going to Mexico and taking money down there the last 2 years, if I've said one time, I've said 200 times that the money goes to those preachers and they live in poverty and they got to have help. They're living without. But they're faithful and trying to win people to God. And we are so tight and greedy with our stinking pocketbook that the offering plate passes by time and time again. And some of you in here can't put no more than a dollar bill in the offering plate. God help me. Somebody said, preacher, I don't have no more than a dollar bill. Who in here ain't got over a dollar? I got a 20 in my pocket. Hey, God, I'll give it to you to put in the offering plate. That's right. Somebody say, I don't like that. Neither does the devil. You know whose side you're on.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all sit there and look at me, make me about half mad. Hallelujah. Irritates the eyes. Blurs and blinds the vision. Got them pricks in your eyes. Have you ever just got a little old speck in your eye? And I'm going to tell you something. If you get it in one eye, mark her down, you can't see out of the other neither. Because it's going to water and run. You're going to wipe and blink and bat. You ain't, hey, but hey, can you imagine a thorn in your eye? Hey. I'm going to tell you what it's going to do. It's going to blind us. It ain't just going to blur the vision. It's going to blind the vision. And Brother Miles, I'm satisfied that's where about 99% of us is living today. We see these little old youngins sitting on the pews and hear our own children lost and without God and husbands lost and without God and wives and mommies and daddies. And we can't even get a tear on the altar. We can't get a broken heart. We can't get under the load. We can't carry the burden. I wonder if it's because when God saved us by the grace of God and commanded us to go in to that Canaan land of promise, my friend, that way when we got there, we have failed to clear out a patch of land and by the grace of God, tell the devil in the world, this is my little section over here, buddy, and you ain't got no place in my little acre of ground. This is mine, devil. This is mine, world. This is mine, flesh. And it's mine because God bought it with His own blood.
Amen.
He promised them the land.
Right.
And told them to drive out that which inhabited that land. And if you don't, they said they're going to be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side.
Right, right.
Now get a hold of this. Just two things there. Number one, they irritate the eyes if you don't get them out. And I'm going to say secondly, they'll impair your walk for God. Do you know what that word side means? He said there'll be thorns in your side. Now I'm going to get to Paul's in just a minute. I'll probably spend more time on this than the rest of them. Paul talked about having a thorn in the flesh. I believe it's in the side. But you know what the word side there in the Hebrew means? And I'm not a Hebrew scholar, student, no, by no means, but I've got a Strong's. And it means a word, Brother Doug, I didn't even know. I had to go to the 1828 to find out what it meant. That word side means to sidle. Oh, I think that's the way you pronounce it. S-I-D-L-E. And the best I could make out, Brother Miles, is what he's saying, there'll be a thorn in your side. It'll impair a walk. He said, you walk sideways.
Amen.
You'll sidle. You can't walk uprightly, you'll sidle. And I'm going to tell you, if you're walking sideways, you got your eyes in the wrong direction. You're looking in the wrong direction if you're walking sideways. And if you bend your neck that way all the time, you'll get a crick. Oh, there'll be problems. I'm telling you, I pray we've got some sidling Baptists today that's got a thorn in their side by wrist, and they're trying to walk with God and walk sideways.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Boy, I can't keep up with them. Praise God. I was preaching over here one day, Brother Tarvin, I don't know, a few years ago, and I always lay my glasses down there. I got preaching in a big way and come across there and brought that fist down and my glasses went out everywhere. Amen. Listen to what the Bible said. Hey, in Proverbs 10:9, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely. Positive, in a positive way. Son, got to walk uprightly. I'm talking about just like that Marine. Hallelujah to God. Got his shoulders back, praise God, his chest out, shin tucked in and ready to march uprightly for the glory of God. And we are soldiers of the cross, and God called us to walk uprightly. But with thorns, my friend, in our side, we're going to sidle walk sideways rather than walking straight forward. I'm going to tell you, we got a lot of preachers that walk sideways. Amen. You've seen some of them, Brother Miles. You've seen some of them, Brother Chris. And when they walk sideways, I'm going to tell you what they do. They talk out the corner of their mouth. Because they're trying to talk to people in this way, and they're looking out that way, and they're talking out the corner of their mouth to them.
Amen.
You may not like me, but I'm going to tell you right while I'm here. You might run me off Tuesday night and dope me out, but I'm going to preach it right while I'm here. Some of you don't like it, but I'm telling you, sucking on them cigarettes and sitting in front of the boob tube and running, my friend, constantly to a fishing hole and this and that, or doing things contrary to holiness is a thorn in your side. Hallelujah. I got to hurry. I want to say secondly, there's not only thorns that remain, but there's thorns that remind. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Paul's thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Old Paul had all them revelations of God. I mean, he was a super spiritual giant. And here's what he said. He said in verse number 7 of that chapter, he said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Everybody come right on in here. A messenger of Satan. God allowed that worldly thorn to get a hold of old Paul to remind him. I don't have this down, but I believe it reminded him of where God had brought him from. Boy, you ought to read Philippians 3 like Benny wrote, read this morning. He's just a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Just a touch in the law. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, my friend, of the tribe of Benjamin. Been circumcised. Had all kinds of religion, but he is lost and going to hell. I'm telling you, we've got a world of people today that's got a head full of religion, but no heart for God. That's why we're not involved in missions and soul winning. There's no heart for God. We've got head religion, but there's no heart for God about us. God jumped that thorn in Paul's flesh. And everywhere he went, every time he'd take a step, that thorn. Three times he said, Lord, remove it. Lord, remove it. Lord, remove it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes there might be a thorn there God don't want removed. Those thorns that remain, God said, get them out. But the thorns that remain, God puts there Himself. Lord, this is the third time. I'm asking you to remove this thorn. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Lean on me, Paul. Lean on me, Paul. Maybe there's somebody in here this morning and you've got a God-given thorn that just buffets your flesh. Lean on Him. God help. Hey, it may irritate. It may sting. It may burn. But it's there for your good and for the glory of God. It's there that we might not be exalted above measure. I'm going to tell you, can I tell you all what my thorn is? I've never told nobody. I've got one. Somebody said, now, preacher, it's probably one of them diseases you've got. I wish to God it was. It's something much more humiliating than that. I'm going to tell you, I believe that thorn was quite humiliating. Somebody said, you going to tell us what it is? Yeah. I'm not ashamed of it. Somebody said, you're crazy. There it is. There's the thorn. Somebody said, Brother Hall, that ain't nothing but a glass of water. You know why I got to have that glass of water? It's because that I am scared to death every time I stand to preach. I feel like I'm just a useless, no power, no God. And I get up there and start talking, my friend, I'm so scared, so full of fear in my heart that I'm going to foul up, miss God, unable to preach. And my old mouth just starts getting like a cotton ball. And I just got to have that little bit of water. That's my what do you call it? Them little covers them kids have. What do they call them? Little babies. Huh? That's my security blanket. That's my security blanket. That's right. Every time I stand up and ask somebody to go bring me a cup of water, the Holy Ghost is there and says, remember, without me, you are absolutely dead, buddy. I'm telling you, it'd be a God's blessed day when we all realize that without the Holy Ghost, we are dead in this life. And without Him, we can do nothing. He reminds me of that. Now look here. I never got over it. He reminds me of it every time I come to the... He reminded Paul that his real strength was in weakness. Which said, my grace, Paul, sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, Paul, I'm going to give you that thorn in the flesh to remind you that you're weak. But when you get there, my strength will be there waiting on you. Can you get a hold of that? Don't pay no attention to Jerome. Listen to me just for a minute. Paul is saying, what God is saying to Paul, you'll find out, Paul, that my strength is not at the top. My strength is at the bottom of the barrel. That's where you got to get, my friend, to have the power of God. I learned a long time ago, if I'm going to have the power of God, I'm going to have to humble myself and get down in the bottom of the barrel, my friend. Realize I'm nothing or nobody. When I hit the bottom, there'll be power there waiting for me. Hallelujah to God. What power. He reminded Paul that the Savior's grace is sufficient. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Woo! Every time I take a drink of that water, the Holy Ghost says, my grace is available. It's real. It's sufficient. You make it. I walked up in front of that big crowd down there at Brother Rainey's. I walked up down there one year. First time I ever preached there. I've never seen such a crowd of people. I looked around like that. My eyes got big like Brother Brown's. I said, you folks see this knot in my throat? I said, that ain't my Adam's apple, my heart. You don't mind being scared, buddy. First time I got up down to Brother Sammy Allen's, his pulpit's as wide as this one part here across our platform. I said, what am I supposed to do? Brother Blue said, preach. Platform about that high, and I'm used to just stepping down. Listen, I'd have to have a parachute to get off of it. I said, you got any God, any water, Brother Blue? He said, here's your cup. Holy Ghost said, my grace sufficient, son, let it rip. Hey, Brother Allen preached on hell that morning. By the grace of God, I preached on hell that afternoon. 29 people, 29 people come to that. Hallelujah to God, come to an old-fashioned altar and was gloriously born again by the grace of God. From then on, said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. I'm going to glory in my weaknesses. I'm going to glory. Paul said, I'm going to glory in what I can't do. So, can you get a hold of that? Some of y'all said, preacher, I can't sing. Paul said, I'm going to glory in what I can't do. Brother Hall, I tell you, I can't teach a Sunday school class. Paul said, I'm going to glory in my weakness. I'm going to glory in my infirmity. But some of you are like Moses. I'm not... Man of slow speech. Who made your mouth, buddy?
Amen.
What the Lord said. Amen. Sure you can do it. Amen. Some of you ladies in here ought to get together and sing. Get together and start practicing specials. Some of you men ought to pray and get the power of God on you and learn to sing.
Amen.
Oh yes, the choir to practice new songs and just keep practicing them until they get right. I mean, if you, hey, dedicate a Friday night. Come on Friday. Come on a Wednesday and practice. Come and, hey, yes, sir, that thing. Now, where your way, come and trust God, my friend. To give you the power. I can't do it. That's that thorn telling you, you can't. But if you listen to the other side of the coin on that thorn, it'll say, yeah, you can. It's like that little old train. I was a little old boy. I can't even remember his name. The big engine couldn't, was sick one day, and he had to hook that little engine up that big long train. And that little old engine, I'm telling you, he headed for that big hill, and he started, and he said, I think I can. 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 I think. About that time, so that little train turned that page, and he's up about halfway, and he said, I think I can. I think I can. About that time, that engine hits the top. And when he starts down the other side, he's saying, I thought I could, 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 I thought I could. Now I'm telling you something, you think you, if you think you can't, you can. If you think you can, you can.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I got to hurry. My time has come and gone. My time is over. I want to say, thirdly, there's thorns of recompense. Hosea 9:6, Israel persisted in apostasy. The Bible said in chapter 6 of Hosea, chapter 9 and verse 6, He said, for lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver nettles shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. God, I don't have time to preach all this. But thorns in their tabernacles. God said, because of your sin, your sins come to roost down at the house. And he said, hey, it's over. It's time to recompense. I'm going to judge you. You would none of me. So he said, I'm going to laugh at you in your day of derision. In chapter Hosea 10 and 8, the Bible said, the thorn and the thistle shall come upon their altars. I've heard people say, I can't pray. Maybe you got an altar full of thorns.
Amen.
Said in Hosea 2:6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. Their pathway become difficult. Can't go this way, they thorns. Can't go that way, they thorns. Can't go this way, they thorns. Somebody said, why? It's too late! You had an opportunity to drive them out, but God said it's time to recompense. It's too late. Judgment has come. Now, I want to tell you something, church. You can either do it God's way, or God will do it His way for you. If you're saved. And I'm telling you, if you're really saved and you're playing with them thorns and picking and plucking around on them, playing with them, mark it down. There will come a day in your life when the thorns that you love will become a thorn in your side and you'll have no way to turn.
Amen.
But irritation on this side. Trouble on this side.
Amen.
Can't move this way. A thorn. I'm in the midst of thorns. Can you imagine? I've seen it. I used this illustration when I preached this verse before. But I've seen them little morning glories crawling up a fence. And they're so pretty hanging down on that fence, but most of the time if you look way back in that fence row, you'll see one little old morning glory. And there's all kinds of thorns around that little, and it's just sitting there like a, and it can't go, no, it can't move, Brother Miles. That little lily has been hedged about with thorns and has nowhere to go. Judgment's come. And that little lily don't have long to live. And long after the thorn thrust its pierced point into that little lily, and the lily dies, that old thorn will still be hanging there, smiling. Now I'm going to tell you something, church. If you don't deal with them thorns, one of these days they'll get you, and when you're done, that little thorn will still be sitting there like that. I'm about done. Some of you said, thank God. I want to say, fourthly, and I'm done, that I'm glad there are thorns that redeem. Somebody said, you're a nut. Screwed on the right bolt. Listen to this verse of Scripture in Genesis 3. Cursed is the ground. Now get this. For thy sake.
Amen.
God cursed the ground for the benefit of man.
Amen.
Cursed is the ground for thy sake.
Amen.
Listen carefully. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat her herb of the field. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Wonder why God cursed the ground for man's sake. Brought up thorns and thistles. I want everybody to look up here and listen to me. If there wasn't any thorns in this life, you'd never look to Jesus. But that sorrow and that grief is designed. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look well in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His mercy and grace. Hey, when you're in the pathway of them old thorns, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. When that sorrow comes. You know something? When they called down here the other day and Brother Steve was in there and he hung up the phone and he said, preacher, they just called and said him. He broke her leg. He didn't have to say nothing else. But I could see something in his eyes.
But he says, and his mouth didn't have to say another word. But them eyes said, my little baby is in pain. He said, preacher, you care if I go up to the hospital with him? I said, buddy, I wouldn't have it no other way. Hit the road. But he looked at Jesus.
Amen.
Not pleasant, that little girl rolling around in that little old thing, especially when her mama's so sorry she dumps her out on the ground. I heard about that. I wouldn't know how she'd get off with it. But here is the blessing of them thorns. I want you to listen carefully. Listen carefully. And the soldiers led him into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band and they clothed him with purple. Now look here, they didn't just prick him with a thorn. They platted. They platted a crown of thorns. They didn't stick him with one thorn or two or three thorns. They platted him. The Lord done said, cursed is the ground. It's going to bring forth thorns. My Bible tells me that cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. But look here. I never seen this before, Brother Doug, and I know you ain't going to get a thing out of it, but I did. When they platted that crown of thorns, what the Lord was saying is, here is all your sin, all your iniquity. I'm going to knot it up together. I'm going to twist it together. I'm going to tie the sins of mankind and the wickedness of mankind and the curse. I'm going to tighten the curse down and I'm going to make him a curse. I'm going to put the your curse.
Amen.
I'll curse the ground for thy sake.
Amen.
And he cursed him for your sake.
Amen.
Thorns of redemption.
Amen.
Put all the thorns.
Amen.
Of humanity. Buried him in the head of the Son of God.
Amen.
Thorns along the way, church. Maybe somebody here this morning never been saved.
Amen.
You've never seen him as your curse.
Amen.
You've never seen him cursed. Maybe there's somebody here and you've just got all kind of thorns in your Canaan and you ain't got them, you ain't purged them all out. Or maybe there's somebody here and you've done got hedged in, feel like there ain't no way out. You look up.
Right.
Thorns as a lily among thorns. So is my love among the daughters. Let's stand together this morning. I've done my best. Something in your life you need to get rid of. Thorns. Briars, thistles. Choking the very life out of God's people. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful again this day for Thy Word and the privilege of preaching it. And I pray, Lord, that You'd take the words that were spoken this morning from these feeble lips of clay. Knowing them, I pray with the power of the Holy Spirit. That, Lord, that sinners' hearts might be quickened, made alive in Thee. I pray You'll call this morning that they might answer. I pray, Lord, that You'd help Thy people this morning that are fighting the good fight of faith and warring in the land of Canaan. Help them, I pray, not to give up, not to turn back, not to stop until the land that's been divided, their inheritance and their lot has fallen to them, that it be clear of thorns and thistles, briars in the way. Bless, I pray, in these next few moments for Jesus' sake. We'll thank you for it in His name. Amen and amen. While Miss Hall plays, we'll not sing. Maybe there's others this morning you need to come. Maybe there's somebody by the radio this morning. God's dealt with your heart. Maybe there's somebody here today and you just need to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Put the world behind you. Forget those things which are behind and press toward those things. That great prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Thorns, ladies and gentlemen, doing great damage, hindering the work of God, discouraging the people of God. You know, as I was a boy growing up, we didn't have big cultivators and things like the farmers got today. We'd have to clear them corn rows with a gooseneck hoe. There wasn't anything any tougher than to get in on them old thistle patches that come up in the ground. You couldn't hardly kill them. You couldn't hardly chop them. And I hated to get in amongst them, but I was always happy when it got out. They're there. They're in your life. Let me ask you this. Can you recognize a thistle? Do you know what a thorn looks like? If you can't recognize what they are, you'll never recognize the problem.